Welcome everyone to the meeting here today, and it says here, can you all hear me clearly? Normally you can, but my voice isn't as loud as normal. Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Ensure mobile telephones are either turned off or switched to silent. The use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio recorded except when the committee is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microsystem, so please ensure that the microphones are switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments that they make at the meeting. I would like to remind members of the committee of their obligation under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any items of business on the committee today. If you have any such interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself. Stating the item of business, if relates to having declared an interest, member should leave the table for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not speak or take part in the vote. All right, thank you.
Chair, so I'd like to declare an interest in item 13.
In item 13.
Right. Chairman, I'd like to declare an interest in, if I can find it, it's the issue regarding Padraig O'Dorney in Falk Hill.
All right. All right, so have we any apologies? Have a month, so we have one. Any other apologies? All right. Declarations of interest, we have already a number of them. If any. All right. Number three is the action sheet. So we go through the action sheet for accuracy. Take page one, page two, page three, page 4 and page 5. And could I have a proposal and a second for the action? Proposed, Councillor Hyland, and second. Second, all right, thank you. No question, that's great. Item 4 is the presentation of the 2018 annual report. And Regina, you're taking that.
Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'm asking members to note the content of the report and to give consideration to establishing... I'm asking members to seek agreement for the presentation of the 2018 annual report and NMD Connect. As you know, in February this year, we... Okay, Mr. Chairman. Apologies for that. Members are asked to note the contents of the report and agree the presentation of the 2018 annual report and NMD Connect. In February last year, we produced the annual report prior to the striking of the rates, which provided information on council performance in the previous year and its plans for the following year. And then in April, we produced the NMD Connect, which was a newsletter that was distributed to all of the households throughout the district. What we're recommending this year, Mr. Chairman, is that we combine both documents into one document, primarily an annual report format with the elements of the NMD Connect contained within, and we hope to produce it in February 2018. We will post it on the Council's website with a limited print run, dedicated, supported by dedicated marketing campaigns, signposting citizens to the website. And the limited print run would be distributed in council buildings and areas of high footfall throughout the district. The document would also be available in Irish as a PDF on the website, and the monies are contained within the 2017-18 budget. And we're just asking if members would agree to that, please.
Councillor Byrne, you've indicated. Thanks, Chair. Yeah, I propose the recommendations. Just a couple of questions on NMD Connect that went out last year. Is it just simply a cost-saving thing? I agree with putting the two documents of the annual report and NMD Connect into one document, and I agree with the limited print runs and in public buildings.
But the magazine that went out to every household, it didn't go to every household. Is there, I know when a number of households in Cross Medan didn't get it. Is there areas that it wasn't sent to? Or the question I'm asking is, do we think it was unsuccessful with the NMD Connect and that we're trying to pull back from that? Because I know a number of areas didn't get it, and when I did see it when I was in the road canvassing, I thought it was a very, very good document, but it just didn't go right out across the district.
Mr. Chairman, the mail distribution company that distributed for us do guarantee that it goes to as many households as possible. Obviously, I can't sit here and say hand on heart it went to every household. It was to be distributed to every household throughout the district, and in the BT34 and BT35 postcodes. That was their duty to do so. So it's not so much a matter of savings, and there are savings, obviously, as you can imagine, because the distribution costs of anything like this are a large proportion of the total cost. We just believe it to be a better, in this digital age, to be a better way of getting the information out there.
Yeah, I agree. And also the fact that it'll be on the website in Irish and PDF, I agree. So I'll propose it.
Second that. Right. Councillor Savage. Councillor Hayland, sorry. Councillor Hayland.
Thanks, Chairman. Just to ask Regina, the limited print run distributed in council buildings, how limited is it?
Mr. Chairman, it's proposed that we would do an initial print run of 1,000 and then distribute them throughout, as I said, primarily council buildings throughout the district and areas of high footfall, such as, for example, dentist surgeries, doctor surgeries, post offices, places where people would tend to visit.
My problem just with that is that not everybody is on the internet, or not everybody is connected through websites and things like that. I would think that a bigger number of hard copies should be printed on, should be made available, and I would suggest it should be ending up to 5,000. Thanks, Chair.
Councillor Savage.
Yeah, sure. Somebody who works within that sort of delivered and printed media element of things, with a bit of an insight to some of this, but the big concern I would have would be we've been very heavily dependent, and particularly in some of the rural areas of our district, and people have been able to access this online, and we all know the problems we have with broadband accessibility, and I'd also like to flag up the elderly and those who are not very computer literate. Are we accessing them? What I'm concerned about is to make sure that we reach all the target audience that we're setting out to do, and I don't think purely going down the route that's been so heavily orientated down the digital route covers that. And also sort of in relation to the other question, in relation to those who are visually impaired, do we have a bold or big print version of this available, and we're both by looking at when we're at the design stage to look at that as a potential opportunity. But I would agree with Councillor Hyland. I think that if we are going to look at making sure we reach the elderly and those who are particularly not that accessible to the internet, that we look at potentially those areas where we have Wi-Fi areas of black spots and target those specifically. And I would believe that we should do that with an increased print run, Chair.
Councillor Walker.
Chair, thank you very much. I would also say that it was an excellent publication, but one complaint I got and a couple of my colleagues got was in relation to advertisement within it. I get a number of emails and a number of phone calls in relation to asking why Ulster Scots wasn't promoted within that document when there was a full page spread for promoting the Irish language. I spoke to Regina in relation to it and that. I get figures and that. People wanted to know how much the council had spent a year on the Irish language and how much in Ulster Scots. I got them figures, wasn't too happy. But I hope maybe in the next publication that something will go in to it relating to the Ulster Scots, because don't forget, we have a lot of Ulster Scots enthusiasts out there in and around the Mourns and that there, so we have, you know, and it sort of gives it a balance then. When someone opens it, or a constituent opens it, they do see something from Ulster Scots in it, not just the Irish language.
Right, how do you want to?
If I could come in, Chairman, we've got a proposer and seconder for that. Now, the The recommendation at the minute is to agree the annual report on NMD Connect. Would members be content then to take an amendment to that to include a print run of 5,000? Yeah, there's nothing to stop us extending that. Yeah. And certainly if we did wish to extend it, I do believe that would be achievable within the current budget. So it's up to yourself, councillors. Would you be content to go with an initial print run of 1,000 and subject to extension if required, or do you want to take an amendment to a print run of 5,000 at this stage?
Happy enough, Davey, that you made the proposal. Yeah, happy enough with that. Right.
Councillor Byrne proposed, isn't it?
Councillor Byrne proposed, sorry. I thought it was. You know, Councillor Hayland proposed 5,000. It was him proposed 5,000.
Oh, yeah. Councillor Byrne, the original proposer of the recommendation as it stands. Would you wish to an amendment regarding the print run?
5,000 or.
Yeah, I understand the arguments, but I suppose the way I read this paper, it's going to be a condensed magazine if you're taking annual report and NMD Connect. So the argument that Councillor Walker brought up about, you know, talking about Ulster Scots and that, it's only going to be information about, you know, refuse and stuff from council. So it's not going to be doing articles as the NMD Connect magazine did. With the increased print run, I think Regina said at the start, 1,000, and then if there was a need, we could increase the print run. Listen, I can see the arguments for or against. I'm sort of happy, you know, to go with either. I think if we do need to start moving towards where we can get it online digitally, but if it was available in community centres, community hubs in rural areas where we do have black spots, absolutely. The numbers for that, I can't sit here and pluck a number out of the air and say 5,000. I don't know the numbers that we need to cover them areas of black spots. So to ask to go from 1,000 to 5,000, I wouldn't have that information here.
So we'd go with the 1,000 and whatever's want if we have it printed. So people happy enough with that? Right. That hits. Yeah, all right. Item 5, Virginia, you're taking that proposal for the establishment of an Irish language bursary scheme.
Yes, Chairman. The report reflects the outcomes of meetings of the Irish Language Strategy Working Group on the 3rd of May, 5th of July and 25th of October. These are the recommendations emanating from those discussions. Following further discussion of the Irish Language Strategy Working Group on the 15th of October 2017, it was agreed Council would give consideration to establishing an Irish Language Bursary Scheme and a financial assistance scheme with two specific themes, Irish Language Community Renewal and Development and Positively Engaging the Irish Language. In terms of the Irish Language Bursary Scheme, the delivery agent would be the Irish Language Unit. And the purpose of the bursary scheme would be to assist individuals to improve Irish language skills through providing scholarships or bursaries for accredited Irish language courses, including Gaeltacht colleges, intensive courses and third level courses. It is acknowledged the establishment of the bursary scheme will have direct impact upon the function of the Irish language unit. In terms of financial assistance scheme, Mr. Chairman, the delivery agent would be the Council's programme unit who will administer the process in collaboration with the corporate policy section who will provide the criteria and participate in the assessment process. As I said previously, there are two themes. The first theme, the Irish Language Community Renewal and Development. This would be an open call for projects or initiatives that encourage Irish language community capacity building, mentoring and volunteering. It is envisaged that the scheme will inspire better developed Irish language communities to partner with newer or developing language communities to share resources and build better networks and encourage volunteering. The second theme, Mr. Chairman, will be about positively engaging the Irish language. This theme would be an open call for community engagement projects and initiatives to build positive relations, raise awareness and understanding, address perceptions and promote respect for the Irish language. The proposed financial assistance schemes do not duplicate current council funding streams to which known Irish language groups across the council area are already applying to. The report's recommendations would be designated as additional positive actions, building upon the council's bilingualism policy, audit of Irish language provision in Urriemore and Down District Council, and the Irish Language Strategy 2017-19. As noted in the report, depending upon what may be agreed, the outworkings of the recommendations has potential to have direct physical and financial resource implications for the 2018-19 financial year, which will be required to be agreed by Council. And as outlined in Section 5, Mr Chairman, in accordance with the Council's Equality Scheme, both the Irish Language Bursary Scheme and Financial Assistance Schemes have been subject to quality screening, and the outcomes of which is that they are not subject to an EQA. So the recommendation is that, in conclusion, members are asked to note the contents of the report and to give consideration to establishing the following for the 2018-19 financial year: an Irish Language Bursary Scheme and a Financial Assistance Scheme with two specific themes, Irish Language Community Renewal and Development and Positively Engaging the Irish Language.
Councillor Murray, you have been here.
All right, go away. Acharja, the Irish Language Strategy Cross-Party Working Group has spent roughly 18 months devising a plan that we hope will provide increased opportunities and resources to the Irish language community within this district, while at the same time seeking to engage with other communities who have at present little or no understanding of the language. The working group consisted of councillors and officials. It was myself and Charlie Casey, Terry and Declan from the SDLP, Andy and Cadogan. Under existing practices, Irish language groups may apply for grants through the Voluntary Contributions Programme. And while we have received a full breakdown of the application showing many successful, it was felt that after much consultation, there was need for a specific Irish language bursary scheme. This will be to assist with people wishing to attend third level courses or tech courses out there in the Irish language, or to attend Gaeltacht courses for youngsters. On a financial assistance scheme with two themes, the Irish Language Community Renewal, which will be working with Irish language communities to try and make them a wee bit better and try and make them cooperate a wee bit more, and the development of a second theme, positively engaging the Irish language. This was seen by the group as encouraging the growth of the language within other communities and creating, as Regina said, positive relations and respect for the language. The financial assistance scheme is intended to make the language more accessible and available, with the intention of holding information workshops in many of the areas not yet engaging with the language. The working group would like to point out that throughout the year and a half, we endeavoured to bring councillors from the unionist parties into the process to show them that this is their language too, that the citizens they represent have as much right to learn the language as any other citizens. There is nothing nationalist or republican about a language. In fairness to Billy, if things were to move a wee bit differently up in Stormont, he could very well have been on board to discuss this strategy. We did meet, and fair play to Billy, we discussed possibilities, but it's never too late, Billy, you never know. This council has a bilingualism policy, and in terms of Irish being viewed on a level of footing with English, we feel we still have a fair way to go. We work with the officials, the officials within the unit, Ursula, Trasna and Louise. We work with Darina and Regina and Colin, and they researched how other councils budgeted for the Irish language. We said we didn't want to pluck numbers out of the sky. None of us were in any way qualified to set targets or set budgets. So we wanted to see how and explore how other councils did them, and not only look at how they spent their money or budgeted for the Irish language, how successful or otherwise they were, and what they had learned from their own mistakes. And we really did spend a lot of time back and forth trying to decide what was the best way forward for the language. We discussed at length minority languages, and in particular Ulster Scots. We wanted everyone in this council to feel that this working group was representing everybody within it. There was actually a third recommendation in that there would be a promotion of Ulster Scots in that, and it was right up until the very last meeting, it was almost in this paper, and we sort of brought ourselves back round to the original remit we had of an Irish language strategy. It was proposed by Councillor Andrews, and I think I seconded it myself, to raise the issue of Ulster Scots at the Good Relations Forum. Certainly many of the councillors who sat on the Irish language strategy would be more than willing to sit on a body that wished to explore and promote the Ulster Scots. Anyone who has any interest in languages would surely support any language. In terms of a budget, we looked at a budget of £30,000 or thereabouts for the bursary scheme and a budget of £50,000 or thereabouts for the two themes within the financial assistance scheme. This is
in line with the expenditure in other councils, it would in no way be the greatest amount of money being spent by any of the councils. And just a reminder, I mean, this is a strategy for all the residents of Newry Morne and Down District Council. Carmyles.
Councillor Walker, you're next.
Chair, thank you very much. I and my party can not support this proposal on the grounds that it's standalone and that it has come from the Irish language working group. You know, a number of things could have been done here. We could have maybe included it and called it a minority languages bursary, which will include everybody, would have included everybody, but it hasn't. It's a standalone Irish language bursary. Now, I can't support that. Now, I do know that through the financial assistance scheme, over the last year or two, a number of Irish language speaking groups has applied. We're very, very successful. I don't have a problem with that there, because there are bona fide groups out there. They can submit an application just like anyone else. They were successful. So they were. I think it's wrong when you look at figures. They're in relation to other councils. Barra there has stated, you know, 30,000, 50,000, which would be 80,000, or if he goes with the model there in Mid Ulster, the Irish Language Bursary Scheme, 30,000, the Grant Scheme, 50,000, and the Language Programming Offence Budget, another 50,000. That could raise to 130,000. So it is. And the people's foot in the bill here is our ratepayers in relation to it. Now, why could the group not have come back with a minority languages strategy which would have encompassed everybody within the district, whether it's Ulster Scots, whether it's Polish or Bulgarian or whoever? It would have included everyone. Everyone else has been excluded from this except Irish speaking citizens of the district, and myself and my party will not be supporting this recommendation.
Councillor Savage.
Chair, without second the recommendation and support,
recommendation
and support what's been proposed today. I did have, like others, concerns, but most of those have been addressed by Regina in relation to, I looked at the 21 applications from the Irish speaking sector for the financial assistance call, of which 15 of them were successful, six unsuccessful, bringing in about £14,000-£15,000 into the sector last year. And I'm one of the main queries I did have was in relation to duplication, and that's been addressed, and also in relation to the potential for opening up equality issues, and that has been addressed. We are a bilingual council. When I mean bilingual, we're talking about English and Irish, and therefore I support it. And as somebody who has had children who went to the Gaeltacht and had a wonderful experience for 2 to 3 weeks over a number of summers, and were enriched by the language, a language, incidentally, that has been preserved in this island by the Presbyterian community. And I think there's a big onus on us as a council to do more work to ensure that those who worked hard to preserve the language from what is perceived today has been from the unionist community are more thoroughly engaged in the promotion of the language and the celebration of the language and all that it has to offer as a rich asset to this area and to the north of Ireland and to the whole island. And I would also emphasise the fact that the bursary element of this is very important. I represent a part of Newry where we have high levels of social deprivation, where families can just about make ends meet. And the one opportunity where children get to actually get away from the pressures of everyday life is to get away from 2 or 3 weeks of the year to Lochinure or Maharodi, whatever the case may be, to enjoy the language, to meet people from other parts of the island and beyond. And I fully support the promotion of the language. But I would stress the need for us to look going forward as how we can increase the celebration of the language within the wider community. When I look at people of the ilk of Linda Irvine, who has worked tirelessly to promote the language and the background that she and her family would come from. And I believe that there is a need as well, as Billy has outlined, to look at the minority languages within our area, given the growing minority populations that we have in the district. But Chair, I will be supporting the proposal as put tonight. Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Shannon.
Thank you, Chair. And I have no issue whatsoever with the bursary scheme, as Councillor Savage touched on. It will help support those that need the assistance and certainly encourage the uptake of the Irish language. Regina touched on the equality part of the financial call scheme, and I have reservations around this particular component. Is yes, there were 6 applications that were unsuccessful in this particular area, but there was 152 other applications that were unsuccessful in the application financial call stream. You know, that's 152 other applications that aren't going to be addressed by setting up a separate financial scheme. We're addressing the 6 that were previously applying. I would sort of like a bit more clarity around the equality stream that was carried out and the details that sort of give the justification that it was suitable and could go ahead. It's, from my perspective as a councillor, is those 152 could have been from Downpatrick area and they have been rejected, but they may not be eligible for a separate financial scheme. So what can I go out to them and tell them? Oh, you can't apply for this because it doesn't relate to you, so probably next year you'll be unsuccessful again. And that's the perception that will be created in the public, is we're addressing a small minority, which we are promoting, but the majority, the 152 others, are just being ignored.
Thank you. So I'll take in a bit.
Sorry. Maybe come in on that. I think really what we were setting out in section 1.1 is to just show that known Irish language groups were actually applying and receiving and being successful in receiving funding. That didn't actually form part of the equality screening, but the equality screening we've been looking at are the two aspects of what's actually being proposed, the Irish Language Bursary Scheme and also the Financial Assistance Scheme. So that's a separate thing. What was very clear as well was to say if you're setting something up, it shouldn't be duplicating anything that already exists for the Irish Language groups which have been applying. So what we're trying to say is this system would still be operational, you still have your themes. These are additional themes which are not duplicating anything that's currently in existence. And that's really what we're trying to say. It's about Irish language community renewal and development, clearly linked to our Irish language strategy around building collaboration between Irish language communities, mentoring programmes, and better capacity building. The Positive Engaging Irish Language is clearly looking at how people engage with the Irish language. It isn't necessarily for Irish language communities, it's for people to engage on discussing the context of the language, the history of the language, learning more about the language. So that's the aspect, and that's what the context of the screenings are about. They weren't looking at the actual financial assistance scheme itself per se. I don't know if that really gives such good clarity to them.
It clarifies to the process that was carried out for the screening, so it does. So it wasn't considering the current existing financial scheme, but how this new financial scheme will deliver on the strategy that we have for the Irish language. Okay. Still has reservations.
Councillor Rainey.
Are you going to let me in?
Of course, Councillor Rainey. Why would I not?
It's a great honour and privilege to be here, Chairman, and to be at a council committee meeting. I am very, very concerned about this. And as a man from the end of Ireland with a name like Riley O'Rahilly, you know, I've always had a great interest in Gaelic culture and Irish language and all aspects, all cultures that, of the people, the fabric of the makeup of this island. And but whenever we have a council that already has a perception within the minority community that this council does not regard them with the same quality and parity of esteem that it does with nationalism, whenever this type of plan comes into the equation yet again, that actually exacerbates that. I can promise you that you could spend $390,000 and you will not improve the image of the Irish language with the unionist minority within your own morning time. And the way that the proposer brought in the issue of Ulster Scots, you know, this add-on that we considered, but we stuck to our remit. You know, whenever the old council was gone and this council was set up, we had a small committee that administered £4,000 a year in an Ulster Scots committee. That committee was open to anybody who had an interest in Ulster Scots, and it generated a feeling within those communities that this council does value me. It does treat me equally. But now we're in this situation whereby Protestants, for want of a better word, they feel they can't get a job in the council. They feel discriminated. They see things like Macrish Park, and you know, they say this is what this council represents. It represents Sinn Féin, Irish Gaelic supremacy that I'm not part of. And I just can't understand how you think spending all this money is going to alleviate that and make people have a positive image of the language. You know, $350,000 yesterday apparently for St Patrick's Day. This $80,000 on top of the money that's already spent promoting the Irish language, you're running well over £500,000. And whenever Councillor Walker and myself wanted to meet with this council and met with the chief executive and some of the representatives of the other party to try to get $5,000 to $10,000 in the budget for Ulster Scots issues or Orange Order issues, £5,000 to £10,000, we were just told no, it's not going to happen. So, like, where is the equality? Where's the respect? Even if you don't like them, I understand you might like the Orange Order, you might like
Councillor O'Reilly, in fairness, I let you in. I thought you had a contribution, but it's the same old spin as every night.
No, I'm just.
It's
I'm
the same old spin, so we're going to move on. I'm just trying
to get over my point that if you don't treat people fairly, you can spend as much money as you want because it will only make things worse against the Irish language.
I was trying to be fair with the Council O'Reilly, but.
This is only a few bungs for people to go away and have a trip.
Councillor Bond.
Thanks, Chair. And just before I make the point I was going to make, you said in the last two items that are not plucked figures out of the air. I think the comment made by Councillor O'Reilly there is outrageous, where we're saying that people from a Protestant background can't get a job in this council. We were presented with a paper 2 months ago. Sorry, let me finish my point. We were given a paper at this committee about 2 months ago, and it was the paper on the amount of people that's hired from all backgrounds, Protestant, Catholic, and no religion, hired, retired, the whole lot. And I made the comment going through with the makeup of this Nearing Morning Down area at 4-1, and it was bang on the money in every single department. I couldn't believe how close the figures were. So to throw that out there, just because when you have an audience sitting here, is an outrageous comment to make. And it's plucking stuff out of the air. It's plucking figures out of the air.
This is not a debate between Councillor O'Reilly and Bond. Councillor O'Reilly, I was fair on Leslie, and you made your contribution. But don't insult, but this is not a debate between yourself and Councillor Bond. If you'd finish up, Councillor Bond.
Thanks, Chair. And I didn't expect it to be a debate, but I wanted to correct the point that was put out there before. Absolutely not. Anyway, the bursary scheme, I think the bursary scheme is excellent. I agree with my colleagues. You know, young kids going to the Gaeltacht area, if we can get any sort of financial assistance to families like that. I get asked by a number of families in South Armagh, is there such a scheme set up and why isn't there? So I completely agree with the bursary scheme. The financial assistance, it's not that I have reservations about it. I wasn't aware that we can break down open calls into different areas, and I would like to look at a minority financial assistance scheme that encompasses a number of groups. I'm aware in the applications that were unsuccessful of the Nearing Rainbow community applying for funds time and time and time again and not getting the funds that they applied for. So much so that they're faced with closure after Christmas because they didn't get the last round of funding. And every scheme that they go into, they seem to be knocked back because they've been into an open call with 500 other applications. and they seem to be at the bottom of the pile for that. So if we can look and sort of branch out into a minority financial assistance call, something like this, that takes in groups like that there, I'd absolutely welcome it. Barra's right to say, you know, people that want to go to third level courses and learn the Irish language, absolutely welcome. I think it's a fantastic language. But I would be advocating people that go to study the STEM subjects in order to upskill the population, to attract foreign direct investment. That should also have incentives as well to get people into them subjects that we don't have. We have low levels of women in the STEM subjects and low levels in the population as a whole compared to countries and continents like Asia. So if we can break down financial assistance calls that we don't have this big pot that everybody goes into and fights for, and we can break it down into minority areas, then I'd welcome it. But I accept the paper that's in front of us and would fully support.
I'm taking Councillor Murray, you want in on this? You want Councillor Murray, you want to win for it? All right. Chair, once again, I'm surprised to admit this, Council. We see the Gaelic language becoming another football. For years, the Presbyterians kept this language alive when it wasn't fashionable. And they worked in this area, in Down, to keep it going. They never looked for a pound, they never looked for a penny. And it was able to survive. But once we see Sinn Féin and the nicest people hijacking it, the Presbyterians have walked away and left it. I think it's an awful disgrace. And any language is doomed to fail if you have to throw money to it. And I am totally and absolutely against this, so is my party. I could talk about it all night, but I'm not entering into any more debate about it. It's a very, very sad night that this council, once again, is using the Gaelic languages of football.
That's a Murray.
Alliance will be supporting this motion, and also speaking as a Presbyterian, you know, I think it's unfortunate, but I mean, I wholeheartedly agree that this line is for all, and I take great pleasure in walking throughout the hills, pointing out the mountains that are named in Irish to the groups, Lanigan, Hands and Knees, Comata, the Lookout. So I mean, we see that reflected in the names of places. We need to embrace it. And yep, I'm a Presbyterian. I'm a the boat people, and I've no doubt that they spoke Gaelic when they came over. To say it's not a unionist thing again, I've looked at history books, and there's funny. There's a great picture of the Ulster Unionist Convention Hall in 1892. That has Aaron Gobrah plastered across it. So I think you know, we can create division, and we can, you know, we can call it football, and then that just
you have to come through the chair. Speak on it.
All I would add to this is, and what I would like to add, and maybe make a proposal, is that perhaps we look at other areas that maybe. Or predominantly with the label of unionism or whatever, like East Belfast that have Irish language schemes going, and how that could be maybe tied in to work it. And I would also say that, you know, if councillors want to come on forward, I mean, and I made comment about the Ulster Scots, I would love to be involved in such aspects too.
Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Mr. Chairperson. The independent group wants to make it clear we're supporting this field. It's maybe 3 years overdue. One thing I would pick up on, though, is what Councillor Sharman was saying, just to pick up a point there. Whilst it is possible for Irish language groups to apply for a grant under existing schemes for Christmas trees or for summer schemes for children or for environmental projects, the existing schemes don't actually allow you to apply for a project to promote the Irish language. And the purpose of the Irish Language Policy and the European Minorities Act and the British government's support for that act was to promote the Irish language, and this policy is to reflect that stated British government policy, which has been adopted by the DIRA, and a document published for the information of councils as to how they should go about it, and this policy is very much in line with allowing Irish language groups to apply for Irish language promotion as well as Christmas trees and environmental projects.
Thank you. Councillor Hyland.
Hi, thanks, Chair. Sure, it's a bit sad for this issue, which, you know, was supported by many people throughout this council, and as already pointed out by Councillor Savage, we have a bilingual policy. This is a bilingual council. And I think it is our duty
to promote Irish language, but not to enforce it, not to make people subjected to it or feel that they are being discriminated as a result. Last year, I mean, when I was group leader of the independent group on the council, we spent a lot of time discussing damage and vandalism and attacks on signage throughout this district. And they were attacked because there was Irish, Gaelic on them. I'm brutally honest. And I think that the unionist councillors here tonight, they're entitled to their free opinion and their right to express themselves and give their opinions and things. They need to ask themselves, once people read it out there, is there any wonder these signs are being attacked? When the leaders of the unionist community within this chamber are so hostile and so antagonistic towards the Irish language and to the people who promote it. It's a sad.
I have a proposal and second for the proposal, and I move on now to item 6. Right, we have to take a vote on this. Those in favour? It's only members can vote on this, and those in favour of the proposal. All right. Those against? All right. Sorry. All right. Item six. Report of the consultation on the Heritage Lottery Fund. Regina, you're taking that.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Members are asked to consider the draft consultation response prepared on the Heritage Lottery Fund draft audit of inequalities and action plan 2013-22 for submission by the 5th of January. It speaks for itself, Mr. Chairman. They're really just procedural issues that we've identified and in terms of access to information, monitoring data and training. And they're really all proposals for what the action plan should look at. So it's really just for noting, Mr. Chairman.
Councillor Byrne.
Thanks, Chair. I just expected to see the report now, the response reading through it, and I wasn't able to measure it to the report. One question I do want to ask, because from not seeing the report, is the inequalities that have been identified, and especially with the LGBT group, explain what it means by across its business functions with the Heritage Lottery Fund.
Sorry, I haven't actually got the document with me. However, what they actually mean is they haven't defined within the document the actual inequalities that named groups, which in terms of inequalities that do exist. But across business functions, what it's really applying to is the background that Section 75 itself applies to the functions, the delivery of functions within a public authority. So what they're really trying to say is in the delivery of functions across the authority, they will look at mainstreaming or integrating issues with regards to LGBT communities, with regard to age, and all the Section 75 categories. That's what they're really meaning across the functions.
Is there no one else got a proposer and seconder for the report? Councillor Savage, are you proposing? Councillor Dawn. All right. Item 7, Liam, you're taking that. Operation Protocol of Auto Recording and Council and Committee Meeting.
Chairman, the paper card on to you, it's really, what we've done is really following on the decision of Council. What we have is the post-protocol there. I'm happy to take that in. Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to be
scared. All right. Any members for any queries? Councillor Vaughan, it's important.
Just one query on the Warden. And the committee meetings on item 5, and it's the one that's been flagged off on the paper, to identify that council will not record speakers if they wish to appear in the recording of the meeting. If they do not wish to appear in the recording of the meeting, I think we need to clarify that that's only public members. I'm sure it is only public members, but we need to clarify that
it's not members actually at council.
No, that's what I mean.
It's other independent people who come and present to council. If they write to us in advance and say they don't want to record it, then we have to respect their rights.
Yeah, and I'm aware that's the intention of item 5 on page 2, but I think there's clarity needed in the last line.
Okay, well, Chairman, we'll make that clear, Chairman. All right. Should I have a proposal and a seconder for that? Right. Any seconds? Yeah. All right. That's all right then. Item 8, Johnny, you're taking this performance improvement plan.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. The purpose of the report is to provide members with an overview of the Council's progress in implementing this year's performance improvement plan. The whole red, amber, green status of those actions in terms of the activity, but also the supporting measures of success are appended to the report. But in general terms, Chair, what I would say is that this is a positive story. The majority of our supporting actions and indeed those measures of success are on track to be achieved, and you can see that within the papers yourself. There are, however, a number of minor exceptions, and maybe I could bring those to your attention. In terms of carrying out a review of outdoor leisure facilities, it will take place later on in the year and can't until Tier 5 officers are recruited, and you'll be aware that the Council is currently undertaking to populate structures at that level. In terms of the malaise with the Northern Ireland Executive, funding has not been released yet by the Department of Communities for those environmental improvement schemes in Downpatrick, Newry and Warren Point. In terms, Chair, around the capital build of the Downpatrick Leisure Centre and indeed the Downpatrick Household Waste Recycling Centre, they have been delayed until quarter three of the 18-19 year. And in the first instance, that's because of, I think, the redesign of the substructure supporting the leisure centre and in terms of a number of planning conditions set in respect of an ecological survey concerning the recycling centre. And then finally, Chair, and again, you may be already aware of this in terms of some of your roles in the planning committee, we are still not meeting our statutory targets in respect of our planning performance. However, we have seen, again, significant improvements in the processing time for local applications and indeed in terms of our ability to process in enforcement cases. I'd say the details appended in the report, unless members have any other questions, we just ask you to approve that, and I'll proceed with publishing that on the Council's website after Council has endorsed your recommendation.
Yeah, sure. I'm happy to propose a report. Just one question. I don't think it's in this document, but in terms of the level of complaints we receive to Council, where do we report that? Where does that feed into? And is there anything different from the take on the things? Right. You're probably right, Councillor Stokes. The officer will come in at the end. Councillor Sullivan.
Thank you, Chair. And Johnny touched on the first item, and it is the outdoor leisure facilities and the delay that it's actually had. It's not just the assessment of our facilities that this is delaying, it's also those that have expressed an interest in actually leasing a facility from this council. People that have expressed that since the new council came into force have been informed that they have to wait until we've carried out the assessment, done our asset review and strategy. And then they are being delayed in actually going forward and seeking funding and improving their own facility as they wish to do. Now, the council has said that they can give a 3-year lease, possibly, but as we all know, mostly funders are looking at a long-term lease of 25 years. I accept that we are doing a Tier 5 recruitment process, but surely there is another way of us approaching those applications that are coming in that we could address rather than hindering those that may have access to funding to improve a council facility which we are then leasing to that club or community group. So I am concerned at the delay of that particular item, and I don't believe we'll actually achieve it this year if we don't actually give it a priority that it's suitable for. Also touching on the economic growth, Johnny, and I would love to work for this council because if 42% is the achieved target with a smiley face, I would get a bonus every year. So I'm not sure what our mid-year performance targets were, but 42 and 40% of the targets being a smiley face, I'm not so sure that's correct.
All right. Thank you, Councillor Savage. Councillor Savage.
Yeah, Chair, the two things I would have got in relation to Objective 4 and Objective 5, and they do really relate to the development of our district and particularly our city of Newry, in relation to the economic development levers that we do have as a council. I looked there in relation to our performance in the plan and said that the average planning processing time of major planning applications. Expected time is less than 30 weeks. We're sitting at 92 weeks. With an average of 55 weeks in the region, and we're still well above that. Now, as an area that would want to attract major development and develop into a city, I think it's an area that we really do need to concentrate on going forward. I welcome the report and support the report, but there are areas in relation to the potential economic regeneration of our district and city that I think we need to be given those issues our utmost attention. I know there have been difficulties within the department and have been addressed, and I would like to see in a year's time that those are significantly addressed, given the fact that these are key economic levers that we as a council hold. The other element relates to the environmental schemes, and again it comes back to the fact that while councils are getting on with the work and delivering for the people on the ground, that we're sitting again with another quagmire of a government, or lack of it, installment. And I think the onus comes on the two main parties there who are trying to work things out at the minute to get the finger out and get things moving, because this is only one small element of what's suffering there, not to mention health, education and everything else. There needs to be a deal, and we need to get our government back, otherwise the knock-on effect is going to start impacting what we're trying to do as a council for our people on the ground. And it's just those are two issues in relation to the key economic triggers that I think we as a council need to be focusing on over the next 12 months, Chair. But otherwise, I support what's been presented and compliment those who have achieved what was set out to be achieved.
Right. So, what other issues would you like, Tony, in then?
Okay, thank you, Chair. Maybe in the direct presentation, we asked Serena to address that. She's responsible for corporate complaints in this organisation. In respect of the outdoor facility, I know Councillor Sharvin's concerns. If you give me the opportunity, Chair, to go back to the relevant AD, maybe I'll approach Councillor Sharvin after the meeting once I get a response from him, just to assure him on that. In terms of the economic growth target, will that be 42% against the 12 months? So when we were reporting this period in the first 6 months, so we're there, thereabouts. I suppose it's up to members to be assured that we're delivering that over the 12-month period. And then, Chair, the point raised in respect of the major planning applications, what I would say there, Chair, and I think members would be already appraised of this, we're inheriting a lot of problems attached to the legacy cases, and that is primarily the driver behind those processing times being so high. Suffice to say, the Council has put significant resource and effort in recent times in actually improving, I suppose, what is happening within that function, and you are now seeing that being borne fruit in terms of the increased processing times, but it's still a work in progress. I accept that, Chair. Thank you.
All right. So you have a proposal, a second up.
Sorry, to pick up the point.
Right.
The point on complaints. Councillor Stokes, at present we have a corporate complaints policy in process. We manage that internally, and a report goes to SMT on that regularly. That's something which the a commissioner of complaints can come in and look at any stage. The other point that I just wanted to make was with regard to the recruitment of the Tier 5 posts in relation to outdoor leisure and the asset management policy are being undertaken as two separate items, so I don't want there to be any confusion that the recruitment of those Tier 5 posts is dependent upon the progress of the asset management policy. They're being undertaken, you know, concurrently, if you like.
So we have Councillor Stokes already. Councillor Stokes, in fairness, you know, you only come in once on an
item. No, sorry, Chair.
You only come in once on an item. You have already been in on this item.
Yeah, but sorry, I've just heard the response, Chair.
Go ahead, no.
I'm just going to propose, Chair, that we would, going forward, that those level complaints figures then are maybe on a quarterly basis, for example, Chair, are provided to this committee so we can monitor them, Chair. Thanks.
Fair enough. All right. You have a proposal in a second, don't you?
Yes.
You have a proposal in a second. All right. All right. Item 9, Local Development Plan Steering Group. And Andrew, you're taking this. This is only for noting.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, that's correct. The purpose of this report is for members to note the minutes of the Local Development Plan Steering Group meeting of the 26th of October. This was the first meeting of the steering group, and as per the terms of reference, the chairperson and deputy chairperson were elected. The committee will note from the minutes that Councillor Craig was elected as chair and Councillor Larkin as deputy chair. The minutes of the steering group meeting are before the committee for them. Thank you.
All right. Any Councillor Savage?
Yeah, Chair, as a member of that steering group, I'd just like to praise the work that's being done and home in on some of the issues that raised. One of the key issues that came out of the discussion that day was in relation to the social housing need and how we tackle that going forward. In the city of Newry, we've a need for well over 500 to 700 units, and the nature of them are one and two bedroom and small units. We have an ageing population, we have a burgeoning young population, and I think that we have to plan in the future to deal with this potentially a housing crisis on our hands in the Newry area, and I feel that that should be one of our priorities, and I think that was echoed by the sentiments of our councillors on the day, and I believe it will and should be a central theme of our local development planning going forward, Chair.
Any other councillors want to come in on this? No. Thank you. I'll move with that. Item 10, this Newry Moor and Down Councillor Seale and Lindsay, you're coming in on that.
Thank you, Chair. Members will note the report in front of them is in relation to a report to acquire a new Newry Moor and Down District Council seal. There's a couple of different options within the purpose and background of the report there, and there's a cost associated with the two options, and the recommendation is that members accept the cheaper of the two options, that they agree to the Council purchasing two simple text-only seals at a cost of approximately £70 per seal.
All right, thank you, Lindsay, for that. Proposed, Councillor Lang. Second, Councillor Bourne. Alright, yeah. Alright, happy enough. Alright, thank you for that, Lindsay. Item 11, the General Data Protection Regulation. And this is for open two. Patrick, you're taking this.
Yes, members are just asked to note the report giving them an overview that the General Data Protection Regulation will be introduced on the 25th of May 2018. It enhances an individual's personal information rights over and above what the Data Protection Act currently provides for, and then it places greater obligations on organisations or persons that would be processing or handling personal data. So this report's for noting, kind of carrying out an overview of what the changes will be, and it's also asking members to note that within corporate services budget for consultancy there is an underspend at the moment, and it's proposed some of that will be used to engage consultants to carry out a high level data audit of the organisation to identify any gaps going forward so they can be an action plan put in place to address those prior to next May. I'm happy to take any questions.
Any queries on that? I've been happy enough it's an open Councillor Chair.
Yeah, Chair, just noted over this past week the headlines where there was a breach of data protection within one of our local new local super councils up in the Ballymena direction. And I'm wondering, Patrick, really, are there any circumstances in which chief executive or other senior officials within this council can, for example, go down through and interrogate individual councillors' emails, for example, or what they may have on their computer?
We're almost getting into the remit as well, the Freedom of Information legislation. So if you as a councillor have your councillor email account, and you are conducting council official business, so if you're corresponding in your capacity as a member of this committee in relation to, for example, an item on this paper tonight, that would be considered under the Freedom of Information Act to fall within council's corporate records, so would be subject to disclosure unless there would be exemptions would apply. Similarly, if someone made a subject access request for their personal data from the organisation, would be under an obligation to look at that. Now, it's slightly, the councillors would have, the Information Commissioner's Office would look at a councillor having three roles. They are, firstly, they are a member of the council and they're decision makers, and that's when conducting council business, they're regulated by council's notification to the Information Commissioner's Office. You then have their capacity as an elected representative for their constituents, whereby your constituents will approach you for assistance on a matter. You would be considered the data controller from their perspective, and you may be required to notify that activity with the Information Commissioner's Office. And then thirdly, you may be an independent, so it doesn't matter so much, apply as much, but if you're a member of a political party, you'll be handling personal data related to that party, and that's for your party to provide advice on. But yes, a councillor acting in their role as a member of council and conducting council business, their emails would be subject to Freedom of Information or Data Protection Act. If a request of that nature does come in, it would come into the compliance section, and in the first instance we would write to the relevant councillors saying that a request has been received and would you hold any information relevant to it, and ask the councillor to conduct a search of their email account.
Yeah. Happy enough, Councillor Carr. Alright. Right. So it's only for an open, we don't have
the only other thing I would add to that is it is contained within our IT procedures and our IT policy that Newry Morning Down maintains the right to monitor the content of all emails being transported over its network. So I think it's very important that everyone remembers that any business that they conduct over the email is the official business of this council. So for that reason, we have that contained within our IT policy and procedures document.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I don't want to go up a whole other meeting, but I think it aligns in a policy like that that causes concern. Who's doing the monitoring? And are people informed if monitoring is going to take place? Or if we're not being informed, then can we take it that it's being monitored every week or every day or whatever?
The line in the policy says maintains the right to monitor. So I suppose you have to look at things on an individual case-by-case basis. So, for example, if we received a serious fraud allegation, for example, it may not be appropriate to alert the individual in the circumstances, but it's very much on a case-by-case basis, Councillor.
Well, that's just one open. Item 12, Conor, you're taking this. State Assessment Management Policy Report. Welcome, Conor.
Thanks, Chair. The Estates Asset Management Policy was presented to the Strategic Projects Working Group in October and obtained approval. So tonight I'm presenting it to this committee and asking members to consider the attached draft Estates Asset Management Policy and approve the recommendations in Section 3.1 and 3.2. Quite a bit of an update on where we are currently to date with the development of the policy. Significant work has been done to update our existing asset list, and measured surveys of our buildings are currently underway. Once this information is available, the estates team will look at the estate needs and analyse the need of the estate and carry out an asset challenge process in accordance with the policy. So the next step will be to complete the condition surveys, and then once we have them completed, we will target the assets in accordance with the policy and set up a series of engagements with key stakeholders to look at the estate's need and that we are fully utilising the estate to the best that we can.
Councillor Bourne. Thanks, Chair. I suppose it's a question on a document that is missing in the appendix, which would be the list of the assets in Newry DEA. I agree that taking Newry DEA first, and I actually welcome it, states that it's due to identifying the surplus assets in Newry because of the Newry Leisure Centre or the Civic Centre is to be built. And to follow on what I was talking about at the meeting yesterday, without getting into any detail, I'd like to see that list so we can identify ourselves what we would feel would be surplus requirements in order to raise capital receipts against the projects going forward in the future. So as it states that it's an appendix of Newry list has already been identified, the assets, it's not on our documents.
I know.
All right.
I'll
let the whole of the councillors come in and then I'll take you back in. We've got Councillor Stokes in. Councillor Sharvin, sorry, go ahead, Councillor Sharvin.
Thank you, Chair, and I was going to raise by the appendix as well. I would actually would like to see what the current list is for all DEAs. Obviously, we would have an existing list of all of our assets, and it would be quite interesting to actually see that as its current state. I wouldn't expect that going forward there will be that many more assets that we would identify, surely,
as a council we are aware of what we own. One other question is obviously in the document on page 12, it sort of gives a visual of how we're going to approach the policy. You know, is the asset required? How that will feed into the asset management plan, and then the outputs, you know, do we dispose of it, do we change the use of it? I take it once that has been carried out, it will come back to SPNR for review, or does it go to the DEA for them to feed it in and then come to SPNR? It's just, if it is detailed, I do apologise, I don't see it listed when I was reviewing it. But it's just understanding how, once we have done this, what is the process for it. And I would actually prefer Down Patrick go first, but I appreciate that the Civic Centre is a priority project.
Thank you. Councillor Stokes?
Yeah, sure, a little bit in the same vein as Councillor Sharman. Are we moving forward as fast as we can? This, you know, there's quite a lot depending on this, so can we move it forward any faster than we're working at the minute?
Sure, thanks. Right. Any other councillors want in before I take Connor back in? You know. Right, Connor, you can sum up on that.
Okay, thanks, Chair. On the first point regarding the list for Nuria, it was provided at the Strategic Project Working Group, and I hadn't intended it to attach it for this meeting, but I can send out the list for the Nuria DEA, which will list all the assets, and I can provide also a GIS map that links the asset reference number to a map, so it can be easily identified and cross-referenced. So that can be provided. We do also have an asset list for all the assets within the council, for all DEAs, and we're working through updating and looking at the information and the supporting documentation for each asset with regards to the land ownership valuations, etc., etc. So that's work in progress, but we have a comprehensive list of all the assets that the council own. Talk about the ratification of any actions and outputs from the policy. They will go to Strategic Projects Working Group and then go through the council approval process to SPNR and then full council before any decision will be taken or any action. And with regards to the speed of how we're doing it, we have a significant number of assets within the council. With regards to Newry DEA alone, we have 125 individual assets that need to be considered against the policy with regards to current use, potential use. So there is a significant volume of work to get through, and if we follow the policy, it's going to take time.
Thank you for that, Conor. Could I propose and second for that? Propose and second, all right. Item 13, Lindsay, you're going to take this. The Murphy Trust and the copies attached to that.
Thank you, Chair. So by way of background on this matter, Murphy's Trust is a charitable trust based in Newry. It's set up for the benefit of the Newry Arts Centre. The Trust have offered the Council three properties at Hill Street, Newry, at no cost, subject to legal formalities. The properties are in a poor state of repair, and for that reason, members today are being asked to agree to the Council proceeding to obtain a full condition survey of the offered properties and incurring the cost of same. Costs are thought to be in the region of around £5,000. If a recommendation is agreed, then the results of that survey and any additional information will be brought to a further meeting so members can consider the matter further, taking into account everything relevant.
Thank you, Lindsay. Councillor Bourne.
Thanks, Chair. When I first seen this coming after the asset management, I was thinking, can you hold off to May or March 2018 before we take on more assets? But the fact that they've been gifted and where they are, the location on Hill Street, you know, one of them's an old listed building, I believe, and the two buildings in beside it. I think, you know, it gives the council an opportunity to work with organisations to breathe life back into and football back into the street. So I think it's sensible to go for a condition survey. The £5,000, that's all three properties. Sort of all three properties. Yeah, I'll propose that.
You'll propose that. Councillor Stokes.
Yeah, thanks, Jerry. So I think, I mean, it's key for the ongoing regeneration of Newry City Centre, but also maybe you join me, Chair, in congratulating the Murphy Trust on the work they've done over the years, Chair. Thanks.
Sandy. Councillor Hyland.
Yeah, I would echo the sentiments of the previous two councillors. I think we should welcome as a council what the Murphy Trust are doing here. There may be additional costs with it because the buildings are in such bad state of repair, but it's always been the goal of this council, I think, to improve and regenerate Hill Street. And by acquiring these assets and these buildings, we may be able to do that. So I would welcome the move. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, so we have the agreement. We have a proposal and a second for that. So, Lindsay, thanks for that. Right, ladies and gentlemen, number 14 is the motion that's before us. It has already been read out at council and it's here for discussion. Does anyone want to come in on it? Councillor Brown, you're not a member of this committee. I can't take in on it. The motion's already presented to council. Councillor Walker.
Can I ask them what changes to the motion were invited to this committee?
To be. It's Councillor Walker. Sure.
It's not to do with Irish language, is it?
Sure. Any councillor can speak on this. But the motion is already presented. It's up to you. If you want to come in on that or to speak, you're taking to come in to speak. Sure. All right. Go ahead, Councillor Wong.
Thank you very much. As the motion is presented here tonight, I can support this motion. First and foremost, when it was presented to council a number of weeks ago, I was supporting this motion. So it was. The reason it wasn't supported on the night was because of a protocol. I knew that a number of motions, and we had set a precedent in the past where motions is sent to committees for discussion. That's why that I didn't support the motion on that night. I have always, even that night at the meeting, my intention was always to support the motion for all the right reasons. I'm really disappointed that this item has been used as a political football in this council. I am really, really disappointed at that. You know, the good people of Newry who are supporting this, and the groups, Councillor Enright, I'm speaking, the good people of Newry who are wanting to see this follow through, I believe, deserve better. This has been used as a political football, so it has, for one man's political gain. And I think it's wrong. We all should be working together in relation to this project in Newry. So we should. What this has done is, it's put councillor against councillor in this chamber against each other. It's put us against each other in that. But I and my party have risen against that rather than squabble about it openly and in the press for weeks. It needs to be dealt with properly, so it does, within council, not to be used as a political football. And I'll give you a prime example that this is a joint motion, but I'm reading that this is a motion from a councillor supported by other councillors. Is it not a joint motion? It's not a motion from one councillor. I have seen things on social media that my motion's coming forward to council. It's been supported by other councillors too, because there's four names in this motion. So there is. And I think we need to stop using Major projects like this are seeking support for major projects like this as a political football, because it's wrong. Whether it's the Albert Basin, whether it's a project that maybe come further down the line somewhere, we need to stop using these as political footballs, because when you tear and have councillors at each other's throats and the general public at each other's throats, it doesn't do any good. It doesn't do any good in moving it forward. But myself is totally supporting this motion, because I do believe that it would enhance Newry. Yes, Newry is a city. It's trying out maybe for a public park and that. And working with this group, I think council can achieve it. We can go out, we can look for funding, we can turn around and work with them. Let's all work together rather than certain councillors having other councillors at each other's throats. But I'm supporting the motion.
Councillor Byrne.
Chair, I just want to go back to on process on two motions that came to full council in the last 6 months that were referred to the committee that I'm the chair of, the ZRT. One was about the markets.
I'm not talking on this motion. On the motion.
I'm asking for clarity from Democratic Services. And Liam, I'll get you the minutes of the meeting, and what was sent to me was the proposer of the motion, if it's sent to the committee, will have speaking rights on that. So if we can get
clarity on that. He has speaking rights. We're not reading the motion. He has speaking rights. He's well fit to defend himself.
Well, he tried to come out at the start and didn't have speaking rights. So I want the clarity on that.
The clarity on that, he was in
all,
his turn.
All
I was in motion. I wasn't reading the motion again. The motion's already presented to the full council. We weren't reading the motion again. Now, have you any you want to add to this motion in front of us?
To be fair,
are you happy enough?
No, I'm happy enough that the members have signed the motion are able to speak on it, and that you've changed.
Every member that signed the motion is able to speak on it.
Okay.
All councillors. Councillor Stokes.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Chair, first of all, I'd like to welcome the support of the Democratic Unionist Party and Councillor Walker for the park in Newry and for the motion, Chair. I'm alarmed slightly, slightly is not probably the right word, Chair, that Councillor Brown, who was the proposer of the motion back and submitted the motion back in September, that went to the October monthly meeting. I know Councillor Brown was allowed to read the motion on the evening, but was not allowed to expand on the motion or debate it on the evening. So it is quite alarming that he is not being allowed at this point to follow through this evening, Chair. However, Chair, this is something that as long as I have been knocking doors in Newry City for many, many years now, come back a decade and more, that the local people have asked for, and I'm sure it's not just my own party, they've asked. They've said, where can we go for a walk? Where can we take our children to play? We love Kilvony Park. We love what the council have done in Steve Gullion. But if you don't have a car, you don't have access to transport, how do you get there? Mm-hmm. Where can I take my children? Where can we go for a walk in Newry that we don't have to get into a vehicle to get there? Many generations ago, Chair, maybe my own, when I was growing up myself and my father had been growing up, you could have walked around the fields around Newry and in similar towns, whether it be Cross and Glen, whether it be Downpatrick, you could have walked, young people could have walked the fields around towns and cities. Unfortunately, those days are gone. If a landowner seen a group of young people walking through his land, the reality is in today's world, he's going to say, what are you doing here? And so it's no longer feasible for young people to walk the fields around the places where they live. So therefore, we need large central spaces in our towns and cities for young people and our citizens to roam into. If across the world, I mean, Dublin is defined by the Phoenix Park, Belfast, for example, the Botanic Gardens, New York Central Park, Kiev and its Gidra Park, Chair, a city I'd be familiar with,
these brilliant cities and large towns are defined by their parks. Muri has nothing like that. We have a number of ornamental parks where, frankly, you can't go for a walk in, Chair. This day and age, Chair, people need room to exercise. The benefits of this project for both the physical and mental health of the inhabitants of Muri and the surrounding areas are tremendous. This facility will allow us to make full use of the water on both sides, Chair, both the canal, which this council has invested heavily, as you know, Chair, over many decades, and the Clanry River, and build on the work we're doing in terms of triathlon and water events, Chair, on those waterways. The benefits, Chair, for tourism, which as you know yourself, Chair, is a top priority of this council, are untold. The economic benefits, Chair, which is maybe, we see the social, we see the health benefits, but we don't maybe focus on the economic benefits. I'm informed reliably that, you know, you put a project like this in place, you will see people want to invest and work in nicely. We will see a benefit, purely an economic benefit as well, if we go ahead with this project, Chair. It is transformational. It has captured, as we can see, Chair, the signatures and the campaign is going, the public imagination. There's an expectation on this council and on all parties, Chair, now to deliver on this project. Finally, Chair, I would ask that this council, every councillor in this chamber, back this motion, because I do believe, Chair, that it will be transformational, not only for the benefits of the people of Newry, but surrounding areas. And I do believe, just, can you imagine, Chair, life without Kilbroney Park? Can you imagine life without what we've done up at St Gullion or our Forest Park at Castlewell and Tullamore? This is a similar project, Chair. I ask every councillor in this chamber to support the motion. Thank you.
Councillor Tindley.
Yep. Thank you, Chairman. I'm not a member of this committee, Chair, so I do thank you for your indulgence and allowing me to speak. Gary has touched on most of the points, Chair, that I was going to mention, so I'll not rehash the arguments. Suffice to say, Chair, the physical and mental health benefits that would flow from this proposed park are without question. A place where walkers, runners, cyclists and families can gather in a traffic-free oasis in the city centre. No monetary value can be attached to the health and well-being of the citizens of Newry. And I say this, Chair, as a native and resident of Restrever, Councillor Stokes has mentioned Kilbroney Park there. I've no doubt, Chair, that some councillors and officials in former times had reservations when being pressed to purchase Kilbroney. However, Chair, I would contend that the purchase of Kilbroney Park would be universally acknowledged as one of the best transactions our predecessor council ever undertook, and the people of Newry deserve no less. There is no equivalent size site currently within the control of the council anywhere else within the city of Newry, Chair, that can offer the same potential as the Albert Basin would. Surely an open, green, waterfronted park in such a central part of our city would complement any other initiatives that the council would like to pursue. So, finally, Chair, we are but the keepers of the flame that was handed to the council chairman 30 years ago, and it's long past time that this city park was realised. So for those reasons, Chair, and others referred to by previous speakers, the independent group and I will fully support and endorse this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Brown.
Thank you very much, Chair, for agreeing to let me in. I do appreciate it. I realise I'm not a member of this committee, and I thank you.
That's all about that.
I'd like to start by thanking the members of the public here who have travelled up here today, many of you for the second time, and I'm very glad we could accommodate you here in the chamber tonight. First off, there were some comments directed at me earlier that I need to pick up on. First off, Philly, there's no precedent
for a motion being sent to
the chair, councillor. You're not talking to councillor Billy Watt, you're talking to the chamber.
Through the chair, motion has ever been discussed at a working group before now. It has always gone to a committee or been discussed at council, so there is no precedent for that. I want to clear that up.
Yes.
Second, it's only a political football when certain parties make it one, and you clearly have.
Councillors, the two of you, this is not a debate between yourselves. You go through the chair, you speak through the chair. This is the direction. Councillor Brown, this is the direction.
Through the chair, this has always been a cross-party and cross-community motion, and that was key from the very foundation of this motion, that it was several parties and independent councillors working together to bring this. I was fortunate enough and humbled to have the position to propose it, but that doesn't make me any different from anyone else that has their name attached to this. It was not my idea. I have never taken credit for it. I have never said it was my motion. And this is a grubby attempt to undermine me and try and save face for not previously supporting the motion previously. But, unlike some, I'm not here to score political points. I'm here to support a project which I saw huge potential in as a result of lobbying by community members in Newry. I'm doing this because this project can be a leading example of councillors actually doing what they were elected to do and delivering for their ratepayers, delivering a project that over 10,000 ratepayers in this area want to see. There's been a lot of publicity about this motion recently, some of it positive, some of it not. I do not want to dwell on any of that, and I do hope that if this motion is successful, all parties and council officers can work together to deliver the park that Newry deserves. I just want to address now some issues regarding the project and what the next steps are from my perspective as the proposer. So, the passing of this motion commits the council to prioritising the full 15 acres of the Albert Basin site for a community park project. This motion will establish the means by which the project will be developed and eventually delivered, namely via a working group. It does not mean that the council will disregard all costs, risks, or any statutory objections, if any, during the development phase. I will not support a park which could put anyone at risk or which is deemed to be unsafe. However, we must approach this project with an open mind. Issues raised around contamination of the site are to be expected, and we were aware of that, and given the former use of the site, that's not a surprise. And this is an issue which, whilst it represents a potential cost to the council, can be addressed relatively easily if the council wishes to do so. Potential contamination should never have been part of the discussion prior to this motion being openly debated here tonight. It also does not commit the council to the full cost of the park, and I, for one, will be pushing for significant external funding for this project, funding which only a world-class 15-acre park will be able to attract. As is clear from the petition signed by over 10,000 people and the lack of other viable sites in Newry for a world-class community park, the Albert Basin is the only viable site for this park project in Newry. Finally, there can be no ambiguity over the fact that the Albert Basin site was left to the people of Newry and must therefore be used for their benefit. Partially developing the land for a park and selling off part of it, or selling it off to anyone in its entirety, would be completely against the wishes of a majority of councillors on this council. Therefore, I hope that all members on this committee will support this motion here today.
Thank you. Councillor Reilly.
Thank you very much, Chairman. Well, German parks, they do provide an intrinsic environmental and aesthetic and benefits to a city. The recreational benefits are well known. If you go to any other major city within these islands or a town-sized city like Newry, you will always find a very nice public place where people can meet. One of the concerns I have on hearing Councillor Brown, I support this 100%, is the notion of attracting substantial funding. I don't want some synthesized and cosmetic park. The best parks that you'll get anywhere are parks that are organic, that with trees and natural grass and humps and bumps, where kids can go and enjoy themselves, where you can walk your dog or whatever. I don't want some cosmetic thing that looks like a NFL football pitch in New York. Those are terrible. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to bring in loads of topsoil, to level that place out, to get it planted out in trees, and to get it whereby the public could use it, it's not going to bust this council by any means. And you could have an absolutely fantastic facility there. And I'm just reading here, parks and recreational services are often cited as one of the most important factors in surveys of how livable communities are. Parks provide gathering places for families, social groups, as well as for individuals of all ages. And one of the issues that come out whenever we were discussing attracting really quality staff to Newry and doctors to Daisy Hill was local services are important to those people and their families, be it a golf club where you can go and get membership, or be it somewhere where you can go to walk your dog in a nice area. And Newry doesn't have that for such a big town on the east coast of Ireland. So I support this motion 100%, and I really do hope it goes through, and by the time this council's out even, we could have somewhere nice to go and have an afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor O'Reilly. Councillor Savage.
Chair, given sort of the initial difficulties we've had in getting to this point to have the discussion here, I'm delighted to play some sort of role in making sure that we've had this discussion tonight on this matter of the park in Newry. Chair, the decision we face tonight is quite simple. Are we as a council going to listen to the people of our city? Over 11,000 people took it upon themselves and took the time out to sign a Newry 2020 petition for a 15-acre park right in the heart of where County Down meets County Armagh, on a flat site where everybody within our city can claim responsibility for and ownership of a beautiful stretch of land surrounded by water, with mountains of the Mourne and the Cuddy Peninsula on either side. Chair, also 80 local organisations backed the project, and I believe most of the local GP services within the area as well. The central location for this site, the size of this site, the flatness of this site, given the fact that Newry is based between two sets of mountainous areas and hillside, means that this is the perfect location for a city centre park. This is something that both myself and my colleague, who I'm proud of sitting beside tonight, have been advocating in Newry since 2010. We've knocked doors, and it's been the issue on the doorsteps for the last 7 or 8 years, maybe more. But from 2010, we have campaigned for a park in Newry, and we make no apologies for that. This scheme has the potential to be the jewel in our city's crown. And it doesn't necessarily have to be in isolation as a park sitting on its own. We have the potential to develop right up the middle bank of our city and potentially create a golden mile, starting with a park, and God knows what would come down the line if we work our way through where we potentially can locate our key projects over the coming years. We have great potential. Newry has great potential over the next decade, and I think we as a city and we as councillors who work in that city have an obligation to deliver ambition for our people. This is the first step, and I think it's the first step in a way to delivering a project that shows, probably for the first time in a number of years, that we are taking cognizance of the will of the people of our city. This is what they want, this is what they need, and this is what they deserve. And Chair, I implore all councillors tonight, from all political persuasions, those who have been slow to come to agreement on this issue, those who have said they were and weren't and maybe went back again, and those who have made it clear tonight that they will support the motion, I ask them to support this, that we can land the funding that's required over the coming months and scope out the issues that are required to deliver a state-of-the-art 15-acre park in the Albert Basin that the people of Newry ask of us to deliver for them, and I think we take the first steps tonight in doing that, Chair.
And those who just wanted to go through the proper procedures. Councillor Hayland.
Hi, thanks, Chairman. Chairman, I'll be brief here because I think we've all spoken long and hard in this one, but it's worth doing that. In 2001, Newry Town was granted the status of a city. 2001. And I was chairman of the council at the time. I hope I tried to point out that at the time, that being a city would pose difficulties, but it would also pose opportunities and rewards. It's taken us some time to get those rewards, but I have to say, the old legacy council was maybe quite slow in coming to terms and grips with the idea of city status. And therefore, I'm delighted that I was able to stand and be in Newry Swimming Pool, the new Newry Swimming Pool, and the new Newry Leisure Centre, and see how such good places those are for the people of Newry. State-of-the-art facilities which are brilliant for our people and which are a testament to them. We also have knowledge that a new civic centre for the city of Newry is to be drawn up as well. And I know that council officers are actively looking to see where we'd be able to site such a building. And I think that also would be very good for the city. But last of all, a park for our city. And we have plenty of good parks in the area, but there isn't one for Newry. And it's long time that we had such a park. As a grandfather of four children, and a great grandfather of two children, I bear testament to the fact that children in particular get great enjoyment from such facilities. And I'd like to see that happen in the Elbert Basin as quickly as possible. It's gone on a wee bit too long, and it's time that we moved ourselves as councillors. And there is, I think, a large degree of unity here tonight on that matter, that we move this forward and we get such a park for our people. And this, lastly, I'd just like to compliment the people at the back of the room who have put such a major effort themselves into achieving this objective. They're to be thanked for doing that. And hopefully this park will realise their dreams. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Highland.
Just been proposed.
You turn your eye off, Councillor Highland.
Sorry, I'd like to formally propose it as a member of the
school. You're proposing it?
Yeah.
All right. He's a member of the
committee. Thank you, Chair. And again, I'm not a member of this committee, so thank you for allowing me to... I have to make that journey. I'm sometimes myself, Chair. Yes, I just start off again that Newry really, in my opinion, lacks a focal point, and it lacks a real heartbeat. Newry over many, many years has really been dissected by poor planning decisions over the last 50 years and a lack of a real city plan. And it also has suffered, of course, during the Troubles, which had a massive effect on it as well. But I believe that the location in Albert Basin is an ideal one and can be made a very creative place, encompassing leisure and water-based activities, including the greenway that we have a section of the guy open. And I'm just thinking that it can be taken from, when we look at it now, it's a desolate, depressing, barren and open landscape. And that could be transformed by thought and expertise, and it could be brought into a place enjoyed by young, old, and maybe not so old. And I do think that the possibilities of taking this forward will certainly serve the generations to come, and certainly they will enjoy this place that is now really sitting absolutely doing nothing. So that's really all I can say, and just supporting the sentiment.
Thank you, Councillor Mikatia and Councillor Starvin.
Thank you, Chair, and I'm happy to second the proposal. What I would like to say is that for those 10,000 signatures tonight, if it is agreed, and I would hope that it is agreed, that this will not just be rather than a promise of a park, this will be a promise of a full 15-acre park that you have been wishing for, and it will be the Albert Basin Park that you have been fighting for. So it's not just a park, it is the park that you want, and it's the park that the council will support in actually delivering. So happy second proposal.
Sure, second that. Well, that we have a proposal, and Councillor Rann, you went in there, right, it's not on. doesn't look great.
Thank you, Chair. Just to make it quite clear from the outset that for those who maybe don't want to hear or are not listening to our position on Sinn Féin are clear in their support for a park in Uri and a park at the Albert Basin. The record of the council, the new council and the legacy council is second to none in providing facilities for Uri, and I think Councillor Hyland touched on some of those. And all you have to do is look at the recently opened new leisure centre, the new swimming pool, the EI scheme along the canal, the greenway that leads out from the Albert Basin Park. It is second to none, and I think what we need now as a council is actually to get down to the work in the committee of actually delivering the park in Uri. All we've had so far is talk about what they want to do. Now we need to get down and deliver the park to the people in Uri.
Thank you. All right, thank you. You want to come in on this?
Yeah, we just need to be clear, Councillor Hyland, what your proposal is, in fact. So the motion as read out at the original council meeting. So the other thing I just want to bring to your attention, you've got the minute of the strategic project working group, where this is referred back from, and at that meeting, Councillor Craig, you'll see in the minute attached, Councillor Craig had proposed that further work be commissioned on the site to investigate what technical issues may exist on the site in relation to issues, and this is accepted by all members. So it's whether or not members wish to consider that as part of the motion, or Councillor Hyland, are you proposing the motion as it was originally read?
Councillor Hyland. Councillor Sharvin, you second the motion, will you?
I did second the motion, and the point that the director Andrina has mentioned there is I would hope that the working group would take that under consideration, as hopefully that the proposer is content with as well.
Thank you for that. And I'd like to thank our visitors who come down in support of the park in Uri. Thanks for attending the meeting here, and we have to move on now with council business. Just stay at home to you all.
We're moving into a closed session
now, just so. Yeah. We're all in agreement. There's no vote. Oh, it's a pity, Henry. All right. Just a minute to leave. Right, councillors, the next items we have is restricted items, and these items are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of paragraph 1, is that this one here? Yeah. Of part 6 of the Local Government Act 2014, information in relation to the financial business of the council, particular or the affairs of any particular person, including the council, holding that information under the public may be resolution by excluding during these items of business. Proposed and second for to win the committee and second. All right. And the first item we have, and then will you read the
Item 15, management accounts. Agreed to note the management accounts for the first 6 months of the 2017-18 financial year, 5 months ending 30th of September 2017. Item 16, half-year treasury report. Agreed to note the treasury management mid-year report 2017-18. Item 17, Fork Hill GSC waive of state of charge. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor O'Murray. Seconded by Councillor Byrne to note the contents of the officer's report and agree to the council releasing a first ranking charge and accepting a second ranking charge on the lands at Pedro Dornan GSE. Item 18, lands of Carnby and Uri, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Stokes to note the contents of the officer's report and agree to withdraw the council's registered interest in the land offered as surplus at Carnby and Uri by the Department of Infrastructure. Item 19, public space and facilities, CCTV, unanimously agreed to note the officer's report and convene a special meeting of the Strategic Projects Working Group to which all councillors will be invited, and any additional available information and options for a way forward to be provided at the working group meeting. Item 10, note taken in closed session to note the contents of the officer's report. Item 21, proposed lease property at the former old gas works the trustees of Bunskull and Ure, agreed in the proposal of Councillor O'Murray, second with Councillor Stokes, to note the officer's report, proceed to enter into a further 5-year lease agreement with Bunskull and Ure for property at former old gas works site Ure, subject to rental valuation from Land and Property Services, completion of all legal formalities. Item 22, LPS asset valuation, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Stokes, to approve the recommendations outlined in paragraph 3.1 of the officer's report that the council engaged Lanton Property Services to undertake valuations of its Lanton buildings for the 2017-18 year under a direct award contract, and officers work collaboratively with other councils to via ALGFO to enter into a formal contract with LPS for valuation services commencing 2018. Item 23, car parking at the closed Newry Sports Centre and other potential council-controlled sites, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Savage, seconded by Councillor Byrne, to approve the recommendations outlined in paragraph 3.1 of the officer's report relating to car parking arrangements at the former Newry Sports Centre, Patrick Street, Newry, and other potential parking facilities under the control of the council in the area of the council office of Monaghan O'Newry, and that the Southern Area Health Trust be included in the list of parties to be approached in relation to all of the car parks referred to in the report. Item 24, Down Leisure Centre update, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Savage, seconded by Councillor Stokes, having considered the updated contract information with respect to the programme and construction costs in respect of Down Leisure Centre, to approve the cost and budget recommendations outlined in paragraph 3.1 and 3.2 of the officer's report. Item 25, Strategic Projects Working Group Action Sheet, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Ryan, seconded by Councillor Savage, to note the content of the action sheet of Strategic Projects Working Group meeting held on 17th of October 2017, including approval of the detail listed in the actions taken, progress to date column, and recommendations relating to the removal and retention of matters on an action sheet, and to amend the minutes presented earlier in the council meeting to include the comments of Councillor Savage coming after those of Councillor Craig.
Right.
No, it's not.
It's important in relation to the chronology of that. What was the strategic direction taken first, followed by the scoping out exercise, because it would tie in with what's happened tonight. But Chair, just on that that item, the last item on down, it was actually Councillor Sharvin. Item 24 was Councillor Sharvin proposed it, not me.
Okay.